This morning, when Pastor Marty was announcing that the session has decided to pursue an assistant pastor, he said that this position would not affect the position of the intern because they see the position of the intern as service to the broader church. Perhaps you ask yourself, how is this a service to the broader church? Well, this is how it is, for letting your intern to preach a series in a book of the Bible every evening on your summer. So you're doing a service to the broader church right now, and hopefully the Lord will use it so that when I have my church, I'll preach it better than I'm doing here. We're going to look at the book of Ruth, which is a challenge in itself just to say the name Ruth. Brazilians tend to say Ruth with an F, so I'll make my best to say Ruth the appropriate way. And perhaps you're wondering why this book. Well, a lot of the commentators note how Ruth is a book that has many themes that are present in plenty of other things that you read or watch in the world. And in fact, the way some of the commentators describe the book of Ruth can be used to describe our nations right now. It is a book about a covenant family, a covenant woman, Naomi and her husband Elimelech, and how the woman Ruth came into God's people. But it is also about a nation who were going through difficult times and challenges and problems, economic, social, familiar problems. And as we go through this book this summer, I hope that you would see how appropriately it applies to our lives in this time that we live right now. And so let's read today from the first chapter, verses 1 through 5. Ruth 1, 1 through 5. This is the word of God. Now it came about in the days when the judges governed that there was a famine in the land. And a certain man of Bethlehem in Judah went to sojourn in the land of Moab with his wife and his two sons. The name of the man was Elimelech, and the name of his wife, Naomi. The names of his two sons were Mahlon and Chilion, Ephrathites from Bethlehem in Judah. Now they entered the land of Moab and remained there. Then Elimelech, Naomi's husband, died, and she was left with her two sons. They took for themselves Moabite women as wives. The name of the one was Orpah, and the name of the other Ruth, and they lived there about 10 years. Then both Mahlon and Chilion also died, and the woman was bereft of her two children and her husband. Let's pray once again. Lord, as we have just sung, we pray that you would search our hearts and erase every evil way. But we pray that you would open our hearts and apply your word for us today. Speak to us and teach us and write these wonderful truths in our hearts with our own pens so that we will live according to it and love you and serve you even more. We pray all of this depending on the grace that you give us through your Spirit by your Son. In his name, amen. There's a famous song that I guess most of us know that says, don't worry about a thing because every little thing is going to be all right. Now, imagine if someone came to Naomi and said that to her. Don't worry about a thing. Her husband died. Her children died. She was in a distant foreign land. I don't think she would see how every little thing was going to be all right. Perhaps this is true for many of us. We live in a time of difficulty. This pandemic that began as a health crisis turned into an economic crisis and then turned into a social crisis. And you see crisis after crisis after crisis. Perhaps you were going through difficulties before this whole COVID began. Family difficulties, financial difficulties, wondering about the future, what is going to happen with you. Times of difficulty are a reality, and we go through them again and again. This morning, We saw from 1 Peter that Peter tells us that we are going to suffer and that we must suffer in a way that honors Christ. Paul speaks about suffering. Jesus warned us that in this life, in this world, we will have suffering, trials, tribulations. And in these times, we tend to have a difficulty to not do something bad. In other words, times of difficulty present themselves for us, and they make it so that we just want to do something. We are overwhelmed. We cannot wait. We just think that we need to do something, to act. Many times, the thing that we decide to do is the wrong thing. We are overwhelmed. We are worried. And so we choose to do something that is not so appropriate for Christians to do. The text we read is exactly this that happened. We see this family, Elimelech, his wife, their children. They're going through a crisis, and they make a wrong decision. And this wrong decision brings them tragedy and death. Now, why is this important for us? Because we learn that in times of difficulty, God's justice is demonstrated. Our rebellion is displayed. And we learn that apart from God, there is only death. Times of difficulty demonstrate God's justice, demonstrate our rebellion, and teach us that apart from God, there is only death. Now, the first thing we're going to see is that times of difficulty demonstrate God's justice. How is that? Look at the first sentences of the first verse. Now, it came about in the days when the judges governed that there was a famine in the land. This first sentence is very important and gives us a lot of information. It's fundamental for the understanding of the whole book. It gives us historical context, and it tells us why everything that happens after this happened. So in the times when the judges governed. Now, the Hebrew literally says, and it happened when the judges were judging. It's very straightforward. Now, when is this time? In our English Bible, Ruth comes after the book of Judges, which is appropriate. We see that in Judges, there is this vicious cycle that keeps repeating itself. What is it? Well, God's people were doing fine. They were serving God. They were blessed. And then they forgot about God. They turned away from God in rebellion. God chastised them. Sometimes it was through an enemy who came and attacked them, sometimes through financial or food crisis like the one we see here. But God rebuked his people. Then Israel would repent. God would raise a judge to deliver them from the oppression. They would be fine for a while, and what would happen again? They turned away from God. And as we read that, we think, how can these people be so stubborn, so rebellious? Well, we first need to understand that we are not so different. And as we will see, we are much similar to the Israelites in the times that the judges were judging than we actually realize. So all this happened in this context, a context that God's people would continually and repeatedly turn themselves from God, and God would chastise them. So in these days, there was famine. Now, not all crisis is a direct response to sin, but we can safely affirm that this one was God's work upon Israel to bring them back to himself. So in this period of difficulty and crisis, the times when the judges were judging, there was a famine in the land. Now, how does this apply to us? Well, again, not all suffering has a direct connection to a specific sin, but we know that all suffering ultimately comes from sin. If it were not from Adam's first transgression, there would not be death in the world. No suffering. But sometimes, suffering is a direct response of God to our sins. to cause us to repent and bring us back to him. We have examples of both cases in the Bible. Job didn't know why he was suffering. Till chapter 4, he had not yet sinned. Then he goes on and, you know, slanders and complains, and then he sins. But at first, his suffering is not a direct response to one of his specific sins. And yet God allowed him to suffer. And we learn from that book, from that lesson, important applications for us. But then there are examples in the Bible where suffering is a direct response to a person's sin. Look at David. He committed a terrible sin, and he suffered, his kingdom suffered, his children suffered as consequences of his sin. And so Israel was going through a famine. Now, this is the first irony in a set of ironies that we will see in this book, because the land called Bethlehem literally means house of bread. And so there was no bread in the house of bread. This is the first of a series of ironies that we will see in these verses. And so in a time when Israelites were repeatedly rebelling themselves against God, God placed a famine, a hunger into the land. Now, this is interesting because the land of the Israelites was a land of prosperity, was a land that flowed with milk and honey, but there was no bread in the house of bread because of their sins. We must look at this and look at our lives. Why are we suffering? Sometimes we don't know. It's not easy discerning the answer for this question. But sometimes the answer is our very own sin. And when this happens, we need, our response must be of repentance and turning to God. Now, as a nation, we suffer because of sins. We live, and I try not to talk about the COVID-19 thing too much, but I just can't help myself. It's just too clear here in this text. Because I don't think the most pessimistic person in the entire world would have guessed that this year would be the way it is. You know, in the end of 2019, the internet was flooded with funny pictures about how bad 2019 was, and was a difficult year and challenging year. 2019 has nothing to compare itself with 2020. All our plans were shattered. Everything that we expected that would happen did not happen. And everything that we had not expected actually happened. And we ask ourselves, why? Why am I supposed to stay home for 2-3 months, which is suffering in itself? We were not made to be isolated. And we don't understand. Many people shake their fists at God and say, God, you are unfair for doing this. I had planned to travel. Now I cannot. How dare you do that to me? But we must look at it and recognize that God is judging sin. Perhaps not one of your specific sins, but as a nation, many, many, many different sins. Not only, and I speak as a nation, I'm not talking about just as the U.S., I include Brazil and all the other nations as with it. The whole world is suffering because of this pandemic thing. And again, it began a health crisis. Now it's a 10 types of different crisis which flows from it and brings challenges and difficulties to everybody. What is our response in this time? I told already that we have many similarities to Israel in the times that the judges were judging. There's one phrase that happens again and again in Judges, and that phrase says that every man was doing what was right in their own eyes. Look at our society, look at ourselves, and ask yourself if we are different. How do we respond in times of difficulty? How do you respond in times of difficulty? Do you recognize that God is judging sin? What types of sin, you may ask? Abortion, pornography, homosexuality, insubordination, self-indulgence, the tendency to entertain ourselves to death, and many, many other corporate national sins that happen and we think it's normal, it's okay. We forget that it is not okay, that every single sin are sins against a holy, eternal God. And so just as God dealt with the Israelites by sending a famine, God is dealing with us. And yet, our response sometimes is the same as the Israelites. Everyone does what is right in their own eyes. But not only as a nation, sins as a church. How is the church affected by this pandemic? We were left without corporate worship. We were isolated. The normal activities of the church have not yet resumed. All these are consequences of this pandemic. And you might ask, why is it God punishing the church? The church is doing what is right. Are we? What is our view of worship? Do we have a low view of worship? And if we do, God took it from us so that we could cherish it, appreciate it, love it, take it seriously. Do you understand how important corporate worship is for us, for our soul? Many people are going through times of depression right now. And I have no doubt that being away from corporate worship is a big, big component or reason why this happened. And so, we are not different from the Israelites or from Naomi's family in the time that the judges were judging. What have we learned in this pandemic? We need to learn that times of difficulty demonstrate God's justice. But the text continues, and we see, following verse 1 and then verse 2 and verse 4, that times of difficulty demonstrate God's people's rebellion. Demonstrate our rebellion. So verse 1 continues and says that a certain man of Bethlehem went to sojourn in the land of Moab with his wife and his two sons. The name of the man was Elimelech, and the name of his wife Naomi, and the names of his two sons were Mahlon and Chilion, Ephrathites of Bethlehem in Judah. Now they entered the land of Moab and remained there. And then verse 4 says that they, now here we're talking about Elimelech's sons, Mahlon and Chilion, took for themselves Moabite women as wives. The name of the one was Orpah, and the name of the other Ruth, and they lived there about 10 years. So we saw already that this famine was not a normal thing that happens. You know, crisis, difficulty happens. It's life, like many people say. No, this is God's hand upon Israel to bring them to repentance. And in this time of difficulty, this man, Elimelech, demonstrated where his heart was, his rebellion. Why? Well, he took his family and he went to Moab. Now, you might ask yourself, why is this such a bad thing? And some commentators say that Elimelech did not sin by leaving Judah, Bethlehem. But most commentators agree, and we agree as well, that it was a sin. Now, why? First, for leaving itself. The Israelites were God's redeemed people, saved through the waters to dwell in the land that God had given them. And in that land, God would dwell among them. Nowhere else in the world there would be God's dwelling presence, especially as it was in the middle of the Israelites. But also, Israel was a church. Elimelech was living the church, was abandoning the church. So this is the first reason why it's a sin. But then we look at where Elimelech was going. He was going to the land of Moab. Now, there are strong evidences that show that Moab was a prosperous place, where the Moabites lived, had prosperity, food. And so Elimelech looked at his family, he looked at his land, he saw that there was no bread in the house of bread, and he went to look for bread somewhere else. But he went to Moab. Now this is a famous place in the Bible. We read about it many in many different places. First, these people were fruit of Lot's incestuous relation with his daughter. So they begin terribly. But then, as their relationship with Israel developed, they became enemies of Israel. Enemies, rivals. In fact, they did not even allow the Israelites to cross through their land when they were coming through the desert to the promised land. They didn't go to the border with water and food for the Israelites to help them in their journey. No, they did not allow that. Furthermore, in Numbers we read that the king of Moab hired a prophet to curse the Israelites. And so it's not like Elimelech was just leaving the place where God chose for him to dwell, which is in itself a sin. He was going to the worst place a Christian could be. There was nowhere worse than Moab for a man of God's people to dwell in. Again, Elimelech did what was right in his own eyes. His family was struggling, hungry. The whole land was struggling with hunger, with famine. And he thought, I need to do something. I must solve this problem myself. He did not stop, think, reflect on why they were suffering. No, he said, I'm going to provide for my family. Perhaps he even thought that he was being godly for doing that. I have to provide, I'm a man. But he turned from the church, from God's people, and went to Moab. Where do you go in times of difficulty? Where do you look for help in times of difficulty? Elimelech did not want to live in Moab permanently. The text tells us that he went there to sojourn. The Hebrew verb gives this idea of something temporary, not something permanent. But he remained there and his family for 10 years. And so the first thing we need to be careful is be careful with temporary apostasy. You know, things are difficult, so I'm just going to compromise my Christian principles for a while. Then I'll repent and turn back to the righteous way. It's the opportunity at your work that if you slander your co-worker, you'll get ahead. If you do something unethical, you'll get promoted. And you know, things are tough at home. You could use the extra money. It's the taking extra shifts on the Lord's Day because you want to buy a new car or remodel your kitchen. And you know, it's hard for your wife to cook in the kitchen the way it is. You know, you can have all different types of good motives. But you need to be careful with temporary apostasy. We will see later what happens to Elimelech. He thought he would go to Moab for a while and then return. But God did not let him return. But also, where do we seek help in times of difficulty? Again, Elimelech forsook, abandoned the church. We have the same tendency when things are difficult. We need advice. And we know that if we go to somewhere in the church, they're going to tell us that we're wrong and we need to repent. We don't want to repent, so we go somewhere else for advice. We hire a coach. We watch a YouTube video on how to do something, feel better. We buy books that tell us that you just need to think positively and things will be okay. When we should go to the church, seek the help of godly men who will tell us what the Bible tells us, which deep down we probably already know. We just want to do what's right in our own eyes. And so where do you go in times of difficulty? How do you react in times of difficulty? First, do you recognize that it is God's working in your life? And then, do you seek for help in the places that God provided you to find help? Or do you try to take matters into your own hand and solve the problem yourself? You know, times of difficulty make us think that the ends justify the means. I don't think anyone agrees with that sentence alone in itself, out of context. But then there's trouble, problems, and we rationalize our sinful actions by thinking that because we have a good reason, we can do anything to get there. Elimelech had a good reason. He wanted to provide for his family, and he went to a place where there was prosperity. But he was abandoning God's people, God's covenant, the church. He was giving a bad example for his children. And so as parents, we need to make sure we don't make bad decisions to abandon the church, for example, because of our children. We saw what happened to their children. They took Moabite wives for themselves. They married outside of the covenant. And perhaps Naomi tried to warn them. We don't know. But could she really have warned them after they had abandoned the church? And so when you abandon your Christian principles, when you compromise, when you make the wrong decision, yes, because of difficulties, because of challenges, because of the circumstances, don't forget that your children are watching, and that someday they might do the same, or even worse. And this is another benefit of being in the church. You have good examples, good role models for your children, role models for yourself as how to educate your children. Elimelech would not find a role model in the midst of the Moabites. There's another application here in this point that sometimes we look at the neighbor's grass and it's greener, even if the neighbor's grass is an ungodly grass. And so we look at the world and their prosperity. They are fine. They are doing okay. They seem happy, successful. And you see that they're really doing a lot of bad things. And then you tend to want to follow them, to go closer to them. If you like to go fishing, sometimes you're fishing here and there's somebody fishing there and that person catches a fish, your intention is to immediately throw your rod or your bait next to that person. We do the same in our lives. We think that because the world is in prosperity, it's successful, we can follow them and go where they are. But we're forgetting that what seems to be prosperity is actually not. Because we know who God is. We know that He is a just, holy God, and He deals with sin. And that even though these people are prospering right now, they will be judged. And so don't let yourself be fooled by the appearance, by the temporary success of the world. Remember who God is. Remember who you are. Don't let difficulties convince you that the ends justify the means. Times of difficulty demonstrate our rebellion. And then, finally, we'll read verse 3 and 5, and we'll see what happened to Elimelech and his family after he chose to abandon the covenant. Then Elimelech, Naomi's husband, died, and she was left with her two sons. Then they got married, and then both Mahlon and Chilion also died, and the woman was bereft of her two children and her husband. What we learn here in these verses is that times of difficulty prove that apart from God, there is only death, there is nothing else. Moab, Elimelech went to Moab to find bread because there was no bread in the house of bread, and he found death. His children followed his steps, married outside of the covenant, even though they knew better, and they found death. Apart from God, you can go looking for whatever it is that you want. You will find death, nothing more. And times of difficulty prove that, teach us that. And God uses times of difficulty to show us that apart from Him, there is only death. And the text is interesting. And here we see more ironies. First, the way the author of Ruth presents this man's death. The Hebrew text is very, very straightforward, direct. Verse 3 begins, "And died Elimelech." And then it says, "husband of Naomi." But the first thing is, "died Elimelech." And then verse 5, "died also Mahlon and Chilion." The author is showing to us that their death was not part of the circle of life. It was not something normal. They were old, they died, it's okay. No, they died because of their rebellion. It was an unexpected death. And quick death, surprisingly death. When we read this, we see themes like the ones in Ruth in many different books, but no book will do this. Will give you the main characters in one sentence, and then the next sentence, character died. It's abrupt. The author is showing us that their death was because of their sin. The author is teaching us that apart from God, there is only death. But another evidence that points to it is that the way the author describes Naomi and the wives of Mahlon and Chilion. Because the text says, "and she was left with her two sons." And this is a good way of translating it, but it doesn't give us the strength of the term, because the Hebrew term here says that she was abandoned. She was bereft. She was forsaken. And so you see, Elimelech went to find bread outside the house of bread to provide for his family. He had a good motive. He did the wrong thing, went to the wrong place. And the very thing that he wanted to do, provide for his family, did not happen. Instead, the opposite happened. His family was left, abandoned, without provision. Then his children get married. What happened? They died. And the text repeats that the woman was left, abandoned, with her two, without her husband and her two sons. Apart from God, there's only death. Apart from God, there's only death. Apart from God, your children turn away from God. Outside the church, outside God's covenant people, you will not find good things. You may think you will, but you will not. And so the question that I've been asking, I'll ask again, how do you respond in times of crisis? Do you think that outside you have better chances of making it? Do you think that God is taking too long and you just need to do something? Do you think that doing what's best in your own eyes is appropriate and is helpful? Where do you go for help? How do you react in times of difficulty? The last time I'll mention COVID, I promise, but this crisis has made it difficult for a lot of us to make decisions. And times of difficulty tend to push us forward to a bad decision. There's a reason why many people look for people who do well under crisis in their work, and they consider that a good character that a person has. There's a famous phrase that happened around the time of the World War II, and then 5-6 years ago in Brazil, everybody looked, people were wearing this t-shirt, "keep calm and carry on and do something." And you would go to a store and you find mugs with this phrase there. Most people don't know where it comes from. But anyway, it shows that keeping calm under crisis is an important thing, and people, they value that. But we need to keep calm and turn to God, not anywhere else, because apart from God, there is only death. And so we see that Times of difficulty are opportunities for bad decisions. Yes. But they are even greater opportunities for us to repent and draw closer to God. And as we learn that apart from God there is only death, we are reminded that close to God, that with God there is life. And this life is only possible because of God Himself in the person of the Son did for us. You might go to many different places finding solution for your problem, but the solution for your problem is in Jesus Christ. And if you turn yourself to Him, you can happily and safely sing that every little thing is going to be all right. Because all problems of this world don't even begin to compare with the glories of a life with God. And so this week, I rewatched The Lion King with my son, and there's this classic scene that Simba sees his dad's reflection, and the phrase repeats, "Remember who you are." Elimelech forgot who he was, because his name actually meant God, my king, Elimelech. Elimelech forgot who God was, and he went to look for solutions for his problem outside of God's people, outside of God. And so in times of crisis, the solution is not for us to keep calm, but it is for us to remember who we are, and more importantly, remember who God is. He is a just, sovereign, powerful God who saved a people for Himself, and we are part of His people. Let's pray. Lord, thank You for Your word and for a text that speaks so clearly to us about a situation that is happening right now in our lives. We praise You, O Lord, for we can see Your work through Elimelech's family and how You used this sin, this challenge, to bring forth a woman into Your people, and from her the Son of David came. Lord, we thank You that we can see Your providence in our lives, and we pray that You would help us to, in times of difficulty, to serve You, to love You, to draw closer to You, to not desperate, to not look for solution outside of You, but that we would run, flee to Your Son, for in Him we have solution. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.